Hello, everyone on Blind Cool Tech. This is Luke, probably better known and as Dark or Dark Empathy, here with another casting of the pod. You know, I shall be your podcaster for today. I always think podcaster sounds about as evil as casting of the pod. You know, a podcaster could be some sort of siege weapon. You know, you have a bowcaster, and a stonecaster, and a podcaster, you know, to hurl pods at the enemy's fortifications and bring them down. Oh dear, turning into Brian Blessed there. Oh well, there are worse people to be. Also, I suppose podcaster could be a city in the south of England. You know, you have Lancaster, and Doncaster, and Podcaster. Oh well, oh, this is already getting random, never mind. So, what is the subject of before we sort of get going on subjects, I think I probably better do a bit of a preliminary. If you want to contact me, you know, I've had some very, very kind comments about previous castings of the pod. The address, as always, is dark@xgam.org. That's D-A-R-K at xgam.org. And as I say, I've had some very kind comments about my last two podcasts. You know, I'm very, very sorry that I haven't... Whoops. I'm very, very sorry that I haven't, you know, been able to do one earlier. I did mean to, but, you know, I've been doing a production of The Sorcerer, which I have played quite an elderly and very depressed vicar. It was a baritone, not a tenor. Yes, I was singing baritone, and I'd much rather sing tenor. Anyway, so I was doing that, and that was obviously took up quite a lot of time and energy. Also, I started recording one of these the other week, and partway through, my brother decided to ring me. And unfortunately, I don't know any method with the R09 to actually pause mid-recording and continue later, so unfortunately I had to abandon the whole thing. If anyone who's more experienced at using the R09 and its sort of more complicated functions than just switching it on and talking into it could let me know if there's a way of pausing the recording, you know, that'd be great. Okay, now, on to today's subject. Sorry about jumping the gun earlier. Well, I've talked a bit about some audio games, but, you know, one of the things that you'll probably notice if you've met me on a forum or on a mailing list or something like that, is that I'm a big fan of sort of, well, fantasy. I also like science fiction and quite occasionally horror as well, and generally anything that's written in a sort of interesting and weird style or shows, you know, something fairly interesting. But it's about fantasy I want to talk today, more specifically about the genre of fantasy game books. Now, game books are, well, sets of printed books in which tell an interactive story. So, for example, you'll be told you're walking down a dungeon, and you'll be set, and the game book will say, you know, if you want to go down the left passage, please turn to page 32. If you want to turn to the right passage, turn to page 49. And then you turn to page 32 and you get something like, you know, you walk down the left passage and fall down a hole and die horribly. Yes, some game books I've played have been very, very bad about the random deaths, but not all, and it's certainly not a standard of the genre. Now, I've seen a couple of the printed books. Obviously, reading them isn't a particularly easy proposition for me, because I obviously read Braille. I once had a discussion with the National Library for the Blind here in England about producing them in Braille, because even though, you know, it would take longer to read through them and turn to each section in Braille, you could still do it. They unfortunately didn't like the idea, but never mind. I have now discovered that there are many such things available online and in text, so can be read by persons of reduced visibility using screen readers. Now, how complicated these are to do? One thing I must say is these aren't the game books I'm going to be talking about aren't are a distinctly different thing from either interactive fiction, which are programs that tell an interactive story or work by typing in of commands, or of online text RPGs, though I would argue that something like Srith is actually closer to the gamebook genre than the usual sort of stat-crunching, resource-management-y typey thing that you get on the internet, which I really don't like. But I won't rant about that here. I have already done enough ranting on the subject elsewhere. So, online gamebooks aren't any of those, because they are stories and they do have an end. And you do usually progress through them by turning to different pages. Now, there are sort of three varieties of, format, really, in which I've encountered these. The first is, and the sort of most, you know, obviously the simplest to produce, are I have encountered some game books, particularly, you know, amateur-written ones, which are presented as straight text files. So to turn to each section in the book, you will need to use, sort of make fairly creative use of Control F in most text browsers, I think, to find the different bits of text. And also, you will need a separate text file to keep your character's statistics, because in the majority of game books, you do have statistics and you have, you know, dice, and the rule systems can be more or less complicated depending on the book and the author and various other factors. But I'd say the ones with the, you know, the ones that are just text documents tend to be the more complicated ones to play. I don't particularly mind. I find I can reasonably well get around them, but you know, they do take a bit of doing and a bit of organisation. Then there are game books that are presented as HTML pages with links. So you know, it'll say, do you want to take the left passage, go to section 32? And you will, you know, just be able to go and press, tab to section 32 and press enter. Or if you are using a mouse, you know, go and click on it. Now these tend to be a lot easier because you can just navigate through them that way. Though you will still need to keep your own stats and roll your own dice. Now two of in that sort of style that I really should mention are the Chronicles of Arborel, which are an absolutely fantastic, fantastic sort of world and system of game book, which involve a lot of game books, which are, you know, written in this way, and generally keeping your own dice and things isn't too hard in those. And the other one is that people might have come across before, is the Project Aeon site, or Project Aeon, I'm not exactly sure on the pronunciation, which are HTMLified versions of the Lone Wolf series of game books, which were a very, very famous series of game books published in the 1980s and have an incredibly good rule system. In fact, if I get round to making another podcast about fighting fantasy, about game books rather, I will probably review one of those, just to give you the idea. But I think if you've not tried any of this sort of thing before, you're best place to start is the Fighting Fantasy Project website, their email address being www.ffproject.com. And the reason is, not only do they have all the sort of appropriate HTML information of the books, but also things like item use and rolling of the dice and stats are all dealt with by the website. I don't know enough programming to say how, but presumably there's some sort of little program running there which will do all the calculation for you, which makes them probably the easiest to play. Now, I've occasionally got the words game book and fighting fantasy sort of wrapped around my tongue in this discussion, and the reason is the fighting fantasy series were a series of game books, a series of, I think now, well, originally 59, though they're now writing more new ones, game books produced in the 1980s, starting in 1982, written by Ian Livingstone and Steve Jackson, and various other authors as well. Thank you, Wikipedia. And as I say, they ran for many years, and they had a sort of very, very simple dice system which could be followed. and probably they are the most famous of the game book genre. I feel quite pleased, actually, that a friend of mine who's a big fan of Fighting Fantasy, you know, he will... I've sometimes played through printed game books with him reading and me usually cooking, and both of us making the decisions. And he, you know, one of them I have played through is the very, very first Fighting Fantasy novel published back in 1982, Warlock of Firetop Mountain, which, you know, is slightly famous. Now, unfortunately, unlike the Lone Wolf series, these are, you know, are sort of copyright and are being published and so on and so forth, so aren't actually available on online as, you know, in a sort of screen reader friendly format. But various, you know, amateur authors have written some, you know, excellent books using the Fighting Fantasy rule system and set very much in the same world as Fighting, or at least some of them set in the same world as Fighting Fantasy, and it is those that are available on the FF Project website, and it is that that I will show you now. Now, as I say, you will, you know, these are books that roll their own dice and deal with their own stats and so on. But I will warn you that the system, the rule system, is rather simple when compared to something like Lone Wolf. But as I've said, you know, I think these are the best thing to do if you're just getting into the whole Fighting Fantasy thing, or just getting into sort of role play, because I have, you know, come across role play games and, you know, huge amounts of text adventures where the sort of stats and the rule system and the combat, you know, really can get very heavy going. And I think quite a few of these things actually lose their focus and sort of become number crunching games, really, instead of the sort of whole exploration of fantasy worlds business. But, you know, that's probably a debate for another day. As I say, it is a subject I have ranted on before, and I don't want to turn into a sort of manic ranter! Oh, I hate rules! Rules are evil! Stats are evil! Well, it's certainly not the case, because you do need rules and stats occasionally to moderate things. Anyway, we won't get into that debate. You know, suffice it to say, these books are fun if... you know, these books are fun.
Menu start, no selection. Menu favourites, no selection.
Okay, so favourites menu. Now, another reason that I tend to get the words game book and Fighting Fantasy mixed up is that I have so many things on my favourites list, beginning with G. I've got a game soundtracks, I've got Google, I've got game facts, I decided to call the folder. I've put them in Fighting Fantasy, just... because I haven't got any other folders beginning with F.
Fighting Fantasy. Ink Fantasy menu. Lone Wolf stuff.
There's the folder for all my Lone Wolf links.
One Fighting Fantasy Project - online game books.
And we're on the Fighting Fantasy Project site. And just to prove that I am not telling fibsies, we shall look
menu
at the web address.
One Fighting http://www.project.com/
www.ffproject.com.
Menu bar. Menu start. One Fighting Fantasy.
Okay, so let us begin.
Fighting Fantasy view menu. Area virtual.
And here we are. I shall whiz this first page with document read. At the bottom of the page, there are various books that are available on this site, which I shall go through and give a bit of information about.
Top. Home. Rules. Laid out. Yes, book. Contact. Fighting Fantasy game books. For the benefit of those who have never heard of them, Fighting Fantasy game books would consist of around 400 shorter numbered passages of text. Typically they would tell its own game-like story, but the reader player would be given options as to how they wanted the story to develop. This involved presenting a choice of numbered passages to read next. Game books, Bad Moon Rising, The Black Lobster.
Right, okay, now, let's look at the game books.
Life, area, top, rules and links, lay down, guest book, contact, Bad Moon Rising, The Black Lobster, Bad Moon Rising.
Right, Bad Moon Rising, that is the first one. That's a nice... you know, nice, quick, easy adventure. I'm fairly proud to say I finished that one. It's also quite humorous, that one, actually. I found that from writing in that one very funny. It's about thieves and undead. So, good fun.
The Black Lobster, Luke.
The Black Lobster, that's another short, fairly easy, but, you know, very, very fun and humorous little book about a rather drunken tavern keeper.
Bodies in the Docks,
Link. Ah, Bodies in the Docks. Now we're up to something more serious. That is a very good book set in the Cthulhu sort of mythos. It's, as I say, it's not set in the usual fighting fantasy world, the world of Titan. That one is set on Earth in the 1920s or 30s? Well, that time period anyway, and does involve Cthulhu. And that one is rather difficult. I certainly haven't completed that one. Though that one does make some very, very clever use of the rule system, so things are slightly more complex in that one, rules-wise. Though, as I say, it's a very good book in its own right as well.
The Cold Heart of Chaos, Link.
The Cold Heart of Chaos? That's got some pretty nasty dice rolling in it, but it's still a fairly short and easy book. I'm pleased to say I finished that one as well. That's about dwarves in the mountains and ancient powers and that sort of thing.
Curse of the Yeti, Link.
Curse of the Yeti. Now, that's another one I haven't finished. By the same author as Bodies in the Docks, actually. In fact, an author I have spoken to on the Project Owen Forum, a chap called Simon Osborne, also known as Outspaced. Anyway, that is Curse of the Yeti. That one I have certainly not finished, because simply finding your way around that one is pretty difficult. I think until I can find a sort of reasonable method for drawing maps and such, I shall be a bit stuck with that one.
Hellfire, Link.
Ooh, nasty! Hellfire, well, is the most evil thing in the history of creation. It really is. You know, it's got gore, it's got some absolutely diabolical puzzles. It is a brilliantly written book. Some of it is so atmospheric, you know, that it's very hard to have a description that's truly terrifying when you're reading with a synthetic voice, but Hellfire manages it. I certainly haven't completed it. In fact, I don't even think I've got that far in it, but it's good fun if you have a strong stomach. Though I will warn that it's probably not, not a family-friendly one, that one.
House of Horror, Link.
House of Horror! Another horrible book. They're not quite as horrible as Hellfire. That one is pretty bad for the sort of random death syndrome. Apparently that's a prequel to a fighting fantasy book called House of Hell that was published in the 1980s. And apparently House of Hell also featured lots of random deaths. It's still worth a play, though. I'd say I haven't completed that one either.
Hunger of the Wolf, Link.
Hunger of the Wolf! Oh! Now that one is good fun. It's about mercenaries and werewolves and a wizard who likes to turn people into random things. I haven't completed that one, but I've got incredibly far. I've got almost to the end of that one. In fact, in a way, I did complete it. I just got a very, very unpleasant ending where I was sort of turned into a wolf and killed. Generally, that is a sort of standard fantasy written book, but I will warn people that the first sort of event in the introduction is something incredibly gory and unpleasant. So if you're bothered by blood and guts, I wouldn't go for that one. The whole book is generally okay as far as the blood and guts go, but the sort of introduction has quite a shocking opening.
Impudent Peasant, Link.
Impudent Peasant, that is the one we shall be playing. I have completed it, so it's cheating, but never mind. We shall be playing that one soon, so I won't talk about that one now.
Isle of the Cyclops, Link.
Isle of the Cyclops. Now that's an interesting one, because it's a very, very short book, and, well, it was good fun. I didn't particularly enjoy it. I didn't find it was sort of deep enough. I completed it my first time through, which is very unusual for a fighting fantasy. And, but interestingly enough, that is apparently a conversion into the fighting fantasy rules system of a book, or of a fan-written book, using another fighting fantasy system, the Fabled Lands system, which I believe are available online somewhere, though I've not come across them, so that probably might explain why it's a bit short and seems a bit odd to someone who hasn't played Fabled Lands.
Lair of the Troglodytes, Link.
Lair of the Troglodytes. That is very humorous and very good fun. It's by the same author as The Black Lobster. But I will, you know, that one is a bit more difficult. I'm still stuck on a couple of puzzles in that one, I will admit. You know, but it is quite good fun. You get to play a troglodyte, which is sort of a miniature, goblin-y, orc-y, nasty, gremlin-y, beastie. Lots of other words ending in E.
Midnight Deep Link.
Midnight Deep. Now, that's very good. That really is... That's actually quite an epic one. It's one of the very much more... Very much longer ones. It's got some very interesting tweaks to the rules. And the, you know, the writing is very good. I certainly haven't completed it, though I have made a couple of attempts.
Outsider Link.
Ah, the infamous Outsider. This has got quite a reputation, I think, as this book is sort of very dark and angsty, in which you play a sort of dark elf who works as an assassin. And, you know, it's that one is quite an interesting one, because you get to wander around and obviously assassinate people, and the sort of writing style and the tone of it is very, very grim and very dark and very angst-ridden, you know, sort of one of these anti-heroes.
Rebels of the Dark Chasms.
Rebels of the Dark Chasms. Now, this seems to be a book, again, based on another fighting fantasy novel. I believe it's set in the world of Titan, but I'm not quite sure, because it mentions another novel in the introduction. But, you know, certainly I found it quite readable, not having read the other book. And, you know, it was good fun. That involves a rebellion in... The sort of underground caverns. You play a sort of human who's fallen in with a lot of dwarf rebels who are rebelling against this sort of evil empire that's taken over the caverns and so on and so forth. So that one is good fun. I've finished that one as well. Ha ha.
Riders of the Storm Link.
Riders of the Storm. That one I haven't even attempted for a very, very simple reason. It's the sequel to Hellfire. And given all the horribleness of Hellfire, well, I don't know. I suppose it would be good fun, but it does seem a little wrong to me to play the sequel before I finish the first one. Though, being as the first one is pure evil incarnate, my chances of finishing it are quite small.
The Trial of Alabar's Tomb Link.
Ah, now the Trial of Alabar's Tomb. That is an excellent book. You know, it's got the standard formula. You wander into a dungeon with all sorts of traps and things. But, you know, it's a very, very logical progression. There are some wonderful little puzzles. There's a bit of combat and fighting as well. I have to say, I'm very proud to say I've completed that one. Because that one is quite a bit longer and has some, you know, it does have some puzzles that require you to use your mind. But one thing I do quite like in that one is the, you know, there aren't many random deaths. You know, you don't just get deaths without any warning. You will, in that one, you will be, you know, you will be given clues and things, and it's up to you to pick them up and to explore. And yes, I think that one is one of my favourites.
Bottom.
And, we're at the bottom. So, now we're going to be playing a bit of Impudent Peasant. But I wonder if it's a good idea first to read the rules. There are some rules on this site, so I think we shall do that.
Fighting Pony Rules Link.
As I said during the game book descriptions, you know, quite a few of these amateur books have done some very interesting things with the Fighting Fantasy system and have introduced sort of other elements that aren't in the initial rules. So... you know, bear that in mind, but we'll read this page. Incidentally, you know, I probably don't need to say, but this is just, I'm using all the sort of standard HAL hotkeys here. I know for a fact, because people I've come across on audiogames.net have said so, that this site is also completely okay with JAWS, and I think it probably would be with Window Eyes and generally anything that will handle a website with text on, so there shouldn't be any issues. Okay, so let's read the rules.
Fighting Fantasy Rules. This is a brief description of the basic rules of Fighting Fantasy and how they are applied here. It is not necessary to know any of this in order to play the game books on this site. In fact, whether you are familiar with Fighting Fantasy or not, I would recommend just having a go and referring back here only if confused. Skill, stamina and luck. The first thing that is done at the start of every game is to obtain values for skill, stamina and luck. Skill. Roll 1 die and add 6 stamina. Roll 2 dice and add 12 luck. Roll 1 die and add 6 here. Of course, all the dice rolling is done for you. The initial values are important. While all three will fluctuate throughout the game, the attributes may rise above their initial values in exceptional circumstances only. Your skill reflects your expertise in combat, your dexterity and agility. Your stamina score reflects how healthy and physically fit you are, and should it fall to zero, you die. Your luck score indicates how lucky you are. A standard Fighting Fantasy concept is to be invited to test your luck. This involves rolling two dice. If the result is less than or equal to your current luck, you are lucky and, presumably, better things will happen than if you'd been unlucky. Whatever the outcome, you lose one luck point as part of this process. Similarly, you can also be faced with test your skill or early test your stamina. It's exactly the same principle, except that no automatic deduction of a point of either skill or stamina takes place. The other difference is that when stamina gets tested, four dice get rolled. Battles, there's a lot of fighting. This is the most complicated aspect of the game. You know you're in a fight when you see something like Evil Finji skill 9, stamina 8 fight. Basically, what happens is you roll two dice. The sum of this and your skill is your attack strength. You do the same for your opponent. Whoever has the highest attack strength wounds the other. Generally, this means a deduction of two stamina points, but there are exceptions. One more piece of terminology, the above process constitutes one attack round. Usually you repeat until someone's stamina drops to zero death. The software does all this for you. All you need to do here is click on fight, or possibly escape, see below. Escaping, sometimes you may be given the option of running away from a battle should things be going badly for you. However, if you do run away, your opponent automatically gets in one wound on you as you flee. Such is the price of cowardice. Fighting more than one opponent, sometimes you may end up fighting more than one opponent simultaneously. In these situations, you choose which of your enemies to target at the start of each attack round. This is done simply by clicking on the fight link next to the opponent of your choice. The combat proceeds as described above, but you can only inflict damage on your chosen target. Winning the attack round against the others merely means avoiding injury. Using luck in battles in the original Fighting Fantasy game books, you were allowed to test your luck to attempt to change the amount of stamina points deducted when inflicting or sustaining a wound in battle. However, this feature has not been incorporated here, and almost certainly never will be. Possessions. Your possessions are displayed in a drop-down box at the right-hand side of the page, next to a button marked Use. More often than not, the text will tell you when to use an object and offer you a link to click on. Some objects, typically provisions, potions and spells, are used by selecting them and clicking on Use. Note that you cannot do this in the middle of a fight. Here you will generally be told how to use such an item when you acquire it. What you won't necessarily be told is exactly when to use it, although there may be clues. A puzzle that appears unsolvable as all options led to disaster may require the judicious use of an object in the right place. Fighting Fantasy logo, home rules, links, downloads, get, link, guestbook.
Okie dokie. So, I think that that gives a nice overview of the rules. And we're going to be playing
Top Battle, Bob, Curve, Hellfire, House of Hunger, Impudent Peasant.
Impudent link. Peasant. It's Impudent Peasant! Yes, I like the this was actually the first book I tried on this site, mostly because I thought the title was amusing.
Fighting, Fight, Life, Eric, Impudent Peasant, by Andrew Wright. Background: the town of Bitterford lies in the valley of the Red River, on the southern edge of the Pagan Plains. Built on the ruins of an old settlement that dates from before the War of the Wizards, Bitterford is connected by road to the much larger settlements of Tut, Myerwater and Port Blacksand via River Glade. As a result, much trade passes through the town, whether it be or barges from the dwarfish mines upriver or merchant caravans carrying exotic wares to the Allansian interior. In addition to wealth from trade, the farmland surrounding Bitterford is rich and fertile, supporting a prosperous community of farmers and freeholders. Not surprisingly then, the town has been often raided by marauding tribes of non-humans and bandits from the windswept Pagan Plains to the north. Ral Jack Lion Jackal, A Shorter History of Valentia, 284 AC, The Year of the Fox, Salamonis, Scrolls from the Halls of Learning. After Bitterford was raised for the third time since its founding, merchants from both Cod and Myerwater banded together to create the Bitterford Cod, a small but efficient unit led by a human or dwarf warrior appointed from either town. Since then, although the raids haven't stopped, they have been limited instead to stealing the odd herd animal under cover of darkness, as opposed to wanton bloody destruction of the entire town. The current marshal of the Bitterford Cod is Urad Blackaxe from Myerwater, a grizzled dwarf skilled with either axe or crossbow and rumored to have one time been the trial master in Baron Zukumvit's legendary Trial of Champions. As well as directing the operations of the Bitterford Guard, Urad is the face of law and order in Bitterford, though he usually leaves the more mundane judgments and trials to a Bitterford council made up of the more wealthy merchants and landowners living in the town. For the past week, however, both Urad and the council have been sorely troubled by rumors and portents emanating out of the trackless wastes that are the Pagan Plains. Thick and twining columns of smoke have been spotted rising from the plains, always an excellent indicator of a predatory warband on the move. A small family clan of centaurs was found slaughtered on the northern road with guard by a merchant convoy from that town. Such was the scene of carnage they encountered that the convoy's strong guns were still grey-faced and shaking even as they crossed the Red River and left for Myerwater the next day. Then, Lal Whitebeard, the hermit and hedge wizard who lived in a small stone hut about a day's ride into the plains, was found wandering towards Bitterford by a guard rider out scouting. Most of his skin had been flayed and removed, apparently by a particularly blunt sword.
Oh,
he said just one thing before expiring, whispering slowly whilst clutching the guard rider with his now skinless fingers. For will come. You, however, still possess all your skin and have never strayed further than a gay or bitter for in the first 15 years of your life. You were orphaned 5 years ago when the rogue band of hill trolls, raiding further west than is usual, got as far as the Bitterford outer reaches, slaying your parents and several other townsfolk in the process, before being wiped out by Urad Blackaxe and his god. The only reason you survived was that you were bitter god at the time, pestering the younger ones for combat lessons. Since then, you have lived in the simple wooden hovel your father built, employed by the people of the town to do odd jobs and general labor about the town and its surrounding farmlands. Partly due to the fact you are significantly larger than a typical 15-year-old human, and partly due to the odd spot of combat practice with the Bitterford God, a large number of your jobs involve disposing of various weird and ancient creatures that wander into town in search of food. And there are a few. Darkwood Forest is not that far to the east. The Dawn Mounds and the woods around the Tower of Sandbar Dome to the south have long been a painful area of ill repute, and then of course there are the Pagan Plains. You are, in short, self-appointed peasant pest destroyer of Bitterford, but also open to other forms of employment. Could an adventuring career be among them? Additional information: take note that you begin this adventure as a 15-year-old and your skill and stamina scores are generated a little differently to other fighting fantasy game books. You are in Italy on loan with a wooden club. Should you acquire more weapons, you will need to decide which one to use. The weapon that you are currently using is listed first in the list of possessions. To switch to another weapon, select it in the same list and click on Use. Play Impudent Peasant. Fighting Fantasy. Text Fantasy.
Ocus docus. So, we are a 15-year-old... professional monster clobberer. We are in this, in this city, which is having some bad, portentous things happen, such as the arrival of skinned wizards, which is charming, isn't it? We are going to begin the game. Andrew Wright, as I say, Andrew Wright is also the writer of The Black Lobster and of Lair of the Troglodytes, to name a couple. There might be another one on there, but I can't remember. And, very much worth playing. As you can probably gather, he's got quite a sense of humour.
Impudent. Play Impudent.
Okay, so let's begin.
Fighting Fantasy Proj. LeBlanc. Area Verb. Impudent Skill. Stamina. Luck.
I'm not using Document Read here because I happen to know that it's going to tell us our skill, stamina, and luck scores.
2, 6, 4.
Oh dear, that's what we rolled.
8, 12, 10, 1. In addition to the wooden club.
Oh dear, skill 8.
1, 10, 12, 8.
Skill 8.
12.
Stamina 12.
10.
Luck 10. Ooh, could be better.
1.
But I will give it a bash.
In addition to the wooden club, 3 meals and 6 gold pieces that you start your adventure with, you may choose one and only one of the following item groups. Link fishing gear text. Link 3 torches text. Link a bow, quiver and 6 arrows text. Adventure sheet.
So, in addition to our scores, we can have a bow, we can have some torches, or we can have fishing gear. Now, given the fact that we are not the most skillful person in the world,
no, we is not, is we, my precious?
Oh dear, I'm going to have to sort out my pronouns to avoid sounding like Gorm,
my precious.
Oh, getting a bit carried away here. Oh well, as I say, because we haven't got a huge amount of skill points here, I think we're going to go for the bow, so that we can hopefully, pick things off before they get into contact with us.
A bow, quiver and 6 arrows link.
So.
Impudent, life, area of earth, impudent 63. 63, before the start of a battle you may be given the option to fire an arrow at your opponent. Continue adventure sheet.
Ah, that was the page telling us about the bow.
Impudent, continue link. Impudent, blank lump. Impudent, peasant. 64 Storm stayed true to its name. The day begins under a slate-colored sky, although the persistent drizzle of rain from above fails to develop into anything more spectacular, and gradually gives way to occasional bursts of bright sunlight. You rise early and in a foul temper, mainly due to several new leaks in the thatch roof above your straw pallet. Do you wish to eat a meal or not? Adventure sheet skill 8, 8 stamina 12, 12 luck 10, 10 gold, 6 silver, 0 blank line. Impudent peasant.
Shall we eat a meal or not? I don't know.
Eat the meal link.
We haven't done anything yet, so I'd say not. Let's try not. Even though I have completed this, it's it's quite a long while. I think that must have been over a year ago, so I don't remember all the appropriate choices for a start. Also, I think on the occasion when I completed it, I had a I had a skill of 10, or was it 9? I had a skill of 9 or 10, which helped.
Impudent, 66 you stomped through the mud and puddles of the back roads, towards the main square of Bitterford, past both prosperous stone houses and the occasional crumbling ruin of the time long past, now almost submerged in overgrown vegetation. Presenting yourself at the chambers for the Bitterford Council, you are told by Gilfer's the scribe that there is little work today. Indeed, the council chambers appear to be full of nervous merchants and farmers, all gossiping about the death of Lal Whitebeard and the possibility of a war band raid from the pagan plains. Just as you are contemplating the prospect of the day of unpaid idle, however, Farmer Corin appears, wearing his traditional sheepskin jerkin. Corin is not a particularly wealthy farmer, due in part to rambling and extensive woods on his land from which all manner of horrors have crawled. This time, apparently, his best herding dog was carried off by some spindly rope-clad humanoid and presumably eaten. He wants you to enter the wood and dispose of the creature. Technically, you don't deal with humanoids, that being the Bitterford God's job, but they are busy with the pagan plains nonsense and Corin is clearly a desperate man. Please, he begs you, I can't afford to lose another dog. I'll pay you 5 gold pieces, plus you can keep whatever you find. That sounds tempting. Continue adventure sheets still 8-8-8. Imputer continue link. Imputer. Imputer.
So, a job to rescue a lost dog, or at least dispose of the thing that might have been unpleasant to it. Let's see what else comes up.
34. The tangled wood lies on a smaller piece of land to the east of Bitterford, near the Red River. Farmer Corin accompanies you most of the way, but stops some distance from the wood and refuses to walk any closer. His two remaining dogs shiver and whimper alongside him, their tails tightly curled downwards in abject fear. There, he says, pointing to a break in the undergrowth that looks like a path. It vanished down there. It did. You enter the wood, following what appears to be some sort of game trail. The surrounding trees are not especially tall or large, but the foliage on either side of the trail is thick and choked with thorny bushes and spiny thickets of bamboo. After a short while, the only sounds being the buzz of insects and the occasional strange bird call, the trail splits into three. From the trail to your left, you seem to detect an increase in the volume of insect noise in the form of a distant buzzing drone. Directly ahead of you, another trail winds deeper into the wood, and from here you think to pick out the weird honking sound, like that of a largish bird. To your right there are no sounds, though you spot what looks like a human-like footprint in the muddy path that forms this trail. Which direction will you go now? Turn left, go straight ahead, turn right, adventure sheet.
Right. Now, before we embark upon this path, I shall show you how to save. Well, not actually save, but it is the equivalent. There is no save button here, but one sort of handy tactic that I've used in the past, and yes, I will admit it is cheating.
Live folk menu, add the favourites.
Is to simply add the page.
Add favourite, make available, name, impudent peasant exclamation.
To
create a new folder button, internet cancel button.
My favourites list.
Internet, HTTP.
Now, if we exit Internet Explorer.
Menu bar.
And we are back to,
No area but live focus quick launch toolbar toolbox is desktop my god.
We're back to the good old Windows desktop. Then if we go back
menu
to
spot,
my favorites here on the bottom.
Impudent peasant exclamation.
Impudent peasant.
Microsoft
and
Internet Explorer 8 area virtue. Impudent 34. The tangled wood lies on the
here we are.
Of land for the
back exactly where we were before.
Bitterford, near the Red River. Farmer Corin accompanies you.
Now, we've got to deal with Farmer Coran's dog. Is it Corin? How's it spelled? Yes, Farmer Corin, or Coran. We've got to deal with his dog.
Bottom. Top.
Now.
Line focus. Area of the turn left link. Go straight ahead. Turn right link.
Because he said his dog was carried off by a humanoid, and there was a humanoid footprint on the right trail, I think we shall go that way.
Impudent. Impudent. The right-hand path is muddy and seems to run alongside the edge of the wood. From time to time you get glimpses, through breaks in the undergrowth, of green fields and the Red River sliding slowly past. There are few sounds, but further along the trail you notice the smell of wood smoke and burning meat. Before long the path leads to a clearing that contains a crude mud and timber hut. Immediately in front of the hut is a warty-skinned humanoid clad in tattered robes tending to a small rock-rimmed fire pit, above which cooks what appears to be the remains of Farmer Corin's dog on a skewer. The humanoid starts in surprise as you enter the clearing, but that quickly turns into a ferocious scowl. Human, it rants. Come to steal my food, by Hashak. Its scrawny hand grabs a nail-studded cudgel, which it brandishes menacingly as it stalks towards you. You must fight. Hobgoblin poacher skill 6 stamina 6 fight. You have enough time to fire an arrow at the hobgoblin. If you wish to do so, you must test your skill. Adventure cheat.
So, we have a hobgoblin to deal with. I think I'm going to see if I can stick an arrow through it.
Test your skill, Link.
Because His club's got nails in.
Impudent. Live for area ver. Imp testing score. 3. Skillful.
Hooray!
127. The arrow strikes your opponent, causing 2 stamina points of damage. Hobgoblin poacher skill 6. Stamina 4. Fight adventure sheets delay 8.
Right. So, we have taken some damage away from this horrible goblin, which is good. Now we'll fight. Incidentally, if you're wondering why Hal keeps reading numbers, those are the numbers of the sections which appear at the top of the page.
Impudent, blank.
So,
impudent,
fight.
Hop got 2, 2, 2, 3. Attack strength 12. Attack strength 11.
We hit him.
120. Hobgoblin poacher. Skill 6. Stamina 2.
Well, if we hit him the next round, he will be no longer troubling us.
Fight Link.
Yes, hey man, would you like to join my club?
Impudent peasant, downloading frame, impudent. You, Hobgoblin 6, 5, 4, 3, attack strength 19, attack strength 30.
Ooh, bosh! Ha 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 ha! That ooh learn ya! Nothing like having your head bashed in to learn ya!
100 Hobgoblin skills, stamina 30, set the Hobgoblin collapse, the Hobgoblin collapses at your feet, gurgling blood. You quickly scan the hut in case there are others, but it appears that the creature was a lone hermit. The search of the hut turns up 3 silver pieces, a torch and 2 dead tree trees. These count as 2 meals. You disdain to take the hobgoblin's cudgel, however, as it is far inferior to your own weapon.
Oh.
Leaving the woods by retracing the game trail, you meet up with Farmer Corrin and relate to him all that has happened. You even manage to convince him to enter the woods with you, to see with his own eyes that the dog-stealing hobgoblin has been dealt with. Araka's in a better world now, he sniffs, reaching down to scratch the necks of his 2 remaining dogs. At least I've still got Tyan Giraffe for company. Thank you, youngster. You helped me when the bit of a god couldn't. With that, he hands over 5 gold pieces as payment for your services. Continue adventure.
Oh, I wonder if Arak, the name of the dog, is named after the wolf in the incredibly good Flight of Dragons film, which was one of my favourite old... it was a cartoon, actually. In fact, I think it was Korean animation. Anyway, I wonder if it was the same... I wonder if it was a reference to that character. Anyway,
continue, Link.
No more... The hobgoblin's dog-napping days are over.
Impudent, blank.
And we have got some money out of it, which is good.
Impudent, 9 to your mind, air to your mind. There is little better feeling than to return to your simple hovel to prepare a warm meal after a hard day's graft. Will you eat a meal or not? Adventure sheet.
Well, as we have some extra grub from finding the tree beasties, I think we will.
Not Link. Eat the meal, Link.
Because if we don't, if you don't eat meals, you tend
Stop.
To lose.
Not Link. Eat the meal, Link.
Lose some.
Life focused, impudent, not Link. Eat the meal, impudent,
lose
blank
your
line.
Stamina, Virtue, which can be life bad.
Focused, black area, impudent, 51. For eating this meal, you may restore 3 stamina points. Link, continue text, impudent.
Well, we didn't actually need to restore anything, area, but still.
Impudent, 50. One thing that is inescapable after such a day is sleep. After shaking your palate free from sundry minor pests and repositioning a series of pots and buckets to catch any leads from the roof in the event of moraine, you sink into deep slumber, for which you may restore 3 stamina points. Continue adventure.
Shall we do a bit more, or shall we finish this? Yeah, I think we'll do a bit more, because I want to show you the item list.
Continue, Link. Light, blank, area, the... Moonsday. Light, yesterday. Moonsday is gloomy and overcast, with only the odd beam of sunlight piercing through the clouds to illuminate a lone tree, ivy-clad fence post, or crumbling mossy wall, all glistening with dew amidst the grey murk. If you wish, you may eat a meal now. Alternatively, you may wait until later. Adventure cheat. Wait until later, Link.
We don't want to... Use too many, so we'll wait till later.
Impudent peasant, 55. Unlike yesterday, you have barely finished pottering about your hovel, still just entertaining the idea of walking into town to see what work guild as the sprite may have for you, when you are accosted at home by folk seeking help. First comes the trail merchant Venquis Glint, complaining about thieves in the night, stealing from his warehouse out near the high road with cut. Packs, rope, harnesses, provisions, where will it end? He moans. I suspect strong bonds from rival merchant convoys myself. Stealing equipment for future trading expeditions deeper into the Alansian hinterland. Either that or a small army. Despite the fact Venquist faces mottled with rage and spittle flies from his mouth as he rants, he will only pay you 3 gold pieces to guard his warehouse. What's worse, it will be an all-day, all-night job, until he can arrange a regular bit of a guard from the council, meaning you will be dead tired tomorrow. Barely has Venquist finished his tirade, though, before Hiron Horsebrand, a rancher with property neighbouring Farmer Corrin, wanders up to your front gate. Hiron's property encompasses low cliffs looking out over the Red River Valley floor, and apparently the recent wet weather has caused a minor rockslide. This has in turn revealed a small cave at the base of the cliff, from which something has emerged to slay one of Hiron's prize foals. He is almost beside himself with grief, and between racking sobs, reveals he will pay you for gold pieces to enter the cave and dispose of whatever lies within. He will allow you to claim whatever treasure you find inside the cave, if any, but you must supply your own torch for the exploration. What will you do? Help vanquish Glint by gutting his warehouse, aid Hire and Horse Rent by entering the cave. Adventure.
Right, now, if I remember rightly, we have a torch.
Luck, wooden plug, use button. Luck, wooden, light, quiver selected, wooden plugs, meals, X, arrows, X, 5 select, torches, X, 1 selected.
Yes, we have. I just used the list, item list box, which is in the adventure sheet that they mentioned before, and we do have some torches, so, you know, I think the Hiron horse friend, the ranch owner, is in the worst position, and it looks like we're going to get more out of it. So I think, so both for his good and for ours, I think we'll help him out with his cave.
Impudent help van eight higher and horse rent by end. Impudent life focus eight higher and area of impudent life focus impudent 23. You agree to help higher and horse rent dispose of whatever is lurking in the cave at the base of the cliff on his property, and follow him through the muddy back streets of Bitterford, heading eastwards. His land lies just beyond that of Farmer Corran, fertile grazing land bounded by the Red River to the south, and gently sloping cliffs to the north, past which lie the high steps of the Pagan Plains. From the top of the cliffs can be seen the far bank of the Red River, comprising yet more farmland and small stone hovels, not to mention the Ocker slash across the landscape, running from east to west, which is the road to Myawaita. Presently, you arrive at the base of a cliff, where Hiron gestures at the large amount of red clay and rubble that has slid down off the cliff face and into the pastures where several of his horses are grazing nervously, their tails constantly flicking the air. The landslide has revealed a low, dark cleft between the rocks, with the mud at the entrance to the cave appearing to have been churned up in a rather peculiar fashion. Whatever it is in there, I think it has more than four legs, says Hiron by way of explanation, indicating the curious spoor at the cave mouth.
Ooh.
It sure ain't friendly either, he adds, pointing to the dew-covered skeleton of the neck fog, glinting in the grass off to one side. The bones have been picked clean, and now only a few brownish scavenger beetles each the size of your thumb wander hopefully amidst the carnage.
Oh,
taking a deep breath, you light your torch, and with it in one hand and your sturdy club in the other, you duck down and into the damp confines of the cave. Continue, adventure.
Okay.
Continue, Link.
So, possibly something insectile. Many, many legs.
Impudent, life of area of MP 44. The cave is damp, narrow, and strewn with boulders of various sizes. There are also several galleries and tunnels leading away from the main chamber, but most are too small for you to investigate, other than using your flaming torch to see how far back the darkness extends. It is whilst you are checking one of the larger tunnels that you turn, seeking to return to the main chamber, and instead trip over a large boulder that you are sure was not there before.
Oops.
Pondering this enigma whilst rubbing your bruised chin, you are horrified to see the boulder suddenly rear up on six spindly insectoid legs and scuttle towards you. What you thought was rock is actually a black armored carapace, from which protrudes a hideous skull-like head bearing razor-sharp mandibles. Chittering horribly, the carrion bug lunges towards you. You must fight. Carrion bug still 7 stamina 6 fight. You may not use your bow and arrow as one of your hands is too busy holding on to the flaming torch that illuminates the cave. Adventure cheat.
Okay, yes. So a maze of twisty little passages, all of them looking the same, to quote Zork. Though luckily it looks like what we were looking for is right in the entrance. Okay, let's get on with insect battering.
Fight, Link.
I will admit, what I am a bit bad for doing is in fights in these books, because you don't usually have the opportunity to leg it or to use anything else. I have been known just to sort of go tab, click until they're over, but, you know, that's it's certainly not the... I only usually do that for speed. Anyway, let's see how we're doing.
Attack strength 16, attack strength 19.
Ooh dear. We got.
Fight Link, imp, lockdown, area of impudent, you can carry 1, 2, 4, 6, attack strength 11, attack strength 17.
Oh dear, we got again.
Forecast, stamina 6, skill 7, stat Link, fight, text, adventure, skill 8, stamina 12, 8.
That's on the sheet. Oh dear, where are we?
Impudent, fight Link, impudent, blank, area virtual, you can carry 1, 2, 5, 5, attack strength 11, attack strength 17.
Oh dear. Not doing very well here.
Podcasts, Link, Byte, Text, Advent, Skill, 8, Stab, 12, 6.
That's on the top of the adventure sheet. You can use any sort of frame-skipping commands to get there as well.
Impudent, Fight, Link, Impudent, Life, of Area, Virtue, 4, 5, 6, Attack, Strength, 18, Attack, Strength, 17.
Oh dear.
Attack, Strength, 18. Podcast, Skill, Fight, Link, Input the blank line.
We so gonna die!
Captured for 1 second at 44. Carrion bug. Attack strength 14. Attack strength 14. 40 carrion bar skills at stamina 6. Lit text advanced skill 8. 8. Stat 12 4.
Ah, interestingly enough, in that round, we both rolled the same amount, so we don't, so we, you know, neither of us gets hit.
Impute and fight link, impute light blank lab area value, so impute 5, 5, 3, attack strength 16, attack strength 15.
Hooray!
Fight link, impute light blank area value, impute impact 5, 2, 5, 3, attack strength 15, attack strength 15.
Oops.
Fight link, impute light blank lab area value. You hit 6, 6, 4, attack strength 19, attack strength 17.
Yay! Ooh, we might be able to turn this around after all.
You cap 6, 2, 4, 1, attack strength 12, attack strength 16, attack 40, carrying bun, skills at stamina 0.
Yay! Ooh, that was nasty.
57. You search the rest of the cave, but to your disappointment, find nothing else of interest or value other than an old dagger. Still, when you drag the carcasses of the dead horrors outside to where Iron Horsebrand is waiting, he shows he is not ungrateful by handing over 4 gold pieces for a job well done. Continue adventure sheet, skill 8, 8, stamina.
Now, this dagger, use I button, think.
Wooden club, list for light dagger selected.
I think we can.
HDD. Dagger, list box, use button. Impudent.
I think we can use it. Let's try using it. I just selected the dagger in the list box and. Then press tab and enter on use.
100. You have selected the dagger as your weapon. 57. You search the rest of the cave button.
Okay.
Bottom, top, life over impudent. You search the use button. You search the rest of the cave. Enter. Continue link. Impudent. Virtual area virtual. Blank area virtual. Impudent 11. Once again you return to your hovel in search of rest and recuperation. Will you eat or not? Adventure sheets. Skill.
Well, I think... With that, that is certainly enough for you to be going on with. I will just bang that in my favorite so I can continue later.
Name. Impudent. Make the bail name. Creating. New role. Internet. Add favorite. The net. No button. Yes, but HD.
So, that is a little bit of Impudent Peasant and should give you an idea of how the old Fighting Fantasy system works. And I hope you enjoy the FF Project website and have fun playing through the books. You know, if you do want to ask me any, if you get stuck in the books, incidentally, a very very good place to ask for advice is the guest book of the website, because there are people there who tend to look there and will, you know, be kind enough to reply and post back if you are a bit stuck. Also, if it's one of the books that I have, I might have done well in myself, you can always email me and I might be able to help, or better still, ask on audiogames.net, because several people there have played the books as well. The email address, of course, if you want to, you know, talk to me about Fighting Fantasy or game books in general, or, you know, just generally say anything, is dark@xgam.org. Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed my podcast, and I will be back hopefully sooner than last time to record another one, possibly about Lone Wolf or more Fighting Fantasy matters. I've got some other plans, certainly. They have cunning plans. I have a cunning plan, my lord. sorry, Blackadder reference. Anyway, I have some plans for future podcasts, and I will certainly put them into action, hopefully reasonably soon. So this is Dark wishing you all a good evening.